This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Everyone, welcome back to On the Air with Brett and Claire.
I'm Brett.
And I'm Claire. And as you can tell by the title, this episode is going to be all about PCOS. So, my experience with it, and then treatment options, I guess you could say. But we're just going to kind of talk about all the things encompassing having PCOS, because September is PCOS Awareness Month. So, I just felt like it was important to talk about it. And this was originally going to be a bonus episode, but I made an outline with quite a few notes just so I can make sure I get out everything that I want to say. And it turned into a really long outline, so I think that there's more content here than a bonus episode would be able to.
Yeah, there's a lot in this outline. I read over it, and I was like, this is longer than most outlines that we've ever made, so.
I just feel like it's a topic I'm really passionate about in a lot of ways. But yeah, we'll talk more about that in a second. For now, let's do our life update. So this morning we walked on the Katy Trail in Dallas, and it was nice. It was nice to just go walk.
Yeah, the only problem is my hamstrings and my calves are like, I haven't walked enough or something, or I haven't been drinking enough water. They were just super tight the whole time, and I had to keep stretching them out. And even just like a slow pace of walking was terrible. So I did not have the greatest time, but it was pretty out there.
I liked it. I feel energized. We only walked like a mile and a half, so not even that much. The whole trail is 5 miles long, which when it's cooler, we'll probably be walking a lot more and hopefully the whole 5 miles. But for today, it was good.
Yeah, it was pretty humid today, so it was a little sweaty and hot, but it was fun. I liked it.
Yeah.
Except for my legs.
Yeah, but I highly recommend y'all get out there and go on a walk when the weather is nice. If there's somewhere, you can always find somewhere to walk. So go get outside and walk. Let this be your reminder.
Yeah, there's plenty of places to walk. Also, we've been making lots of TikToks. If you haven't already seen my new page or whatever you call it, TikTok account. I think we're going to kind of rebrand our both of them and merge them into one we're talking about. So we'll see. I think that might be smarter for how we do things. And I'm still working on finding a job. A lot more difficult than I expected, but I think we're just in a strange place in the economy and the market right now. So just hanging in there and putting stuff out and just treating it like fishing. Hopefully we catch something, you know?
Yeah, that's all you can really do. At the end of the day, as long as we're all trying to do something, that's what matters. So
yeah, but it's given us a chance to really focus on our content creation, which is the podcast, TikToks. What else are we doing? I feel like we're doing something else. YouTube, I guess technically we're doing, but that's just to have a video format. But yeah, it's been nice to just think about that for the most part, and it's really fun to create videos. It's also really, it's hard to be like freely creative, you know, I've kind of realized from all this, because whenever you sit down and you're like, oh yeah, like I'm just gonna make a video, it's kind of hard to just come up with out of nothing like, oh, this is how I'm gonna make this video, or this is what it's gonna be about. So it's an interesting kind of path that we're on with this.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I just think it's annoying when it doesn't turn out like how you wanted it to in your head. Like, for instance, we made our first loaf of sourdough, and it, for our first loaf, was honestly amazing. And we made a whole TikTok about that, and it just looks terrible. Sorry, I'm trying to make sure Penny over here isn't jumping on the recorder. But it just, the video looked terrible, which was really disappointing because we put in, like, a lot of effort.
Yeah, we even got, like, a new special, what is it? It's not a tripod because it's just one, but just, like, a mount for our phones on the countertop. And it works really well, but it, like, yeah, my camera got dirty halfway through and I didn't realize it or clean it, so part of it's weird. Also, the lighting, it took like all day to make this one video because of the weight on the bread, and we kept either having our little lights on or off, so the lighting's different in different clips too. And yeah, it's just an interesting, it's weird to like sit around all day and make one little video that's only ended up being what, like 3 minutes long.
Yeah, it's also hard because it was our first sourdough loaf, and sourdough, like, is kind of complicated, so I feel like we were trying to focus on that, but then also make sure we were recording it all, and that just takes a lot of, like, brain power, honestly, because, like,
it's hard to focus. Well, and you want to start doing stuff on the bread, and then you're like, yeah, oh gosh, we're not recording this, and so it's just, like, a weird way of, like, going about things, where you have to remember to record it in a good way.
Yeah,
it's just strange, but I don't know, we're kind of getting used to that, but it's still, it's just a weird thing. Speaking of like getting better though at stuff, you should notice that we went from the stereo sound where like her voice is on the left and mine's on the right or vice versa. Now it's mono, so you should hear both of our voices through on the speakers normally. It shouldn't be some weird like left and right thing.
Yeah, sorry that it took us so long to figure that out, but thank you to those of you that brought that to our attention, and let us know if it sounds like how it should now, because we're hopeful that this fixed the issue and it shouldn't be weird. So now if you want to listen to us with one headphone in, it won't just be one of our voices. It should be both of us in unison.
And all it took was a quick Google search and we fixed it in like a matter of seconds.
Yeah, so y'all tell us if there's things like that that are super irritating that we can improve upon. Please don't hesitate to let us know. You're okay, Frank. Sorry, the dogs are crying. It's been a morning so far. But I think that's about all for the life update. We've just been, you know, you've been trying to find a job. We've been TikToking and just trying to do little things to make the podcast better slowly but surely. So it's kind of all there is to it.
Yeah. And moving on to the main part of our podcast episode, I just want to preface it by saying that this is mostly like the information, you know, more about it. So I'm kind of going to let you take the lead on it. And I'm just going to make comments as I think about them or expand on stuff that maybe I think you know more about and you haven't talked about. So,
okay. And that kind of stresses me out, but
you got this. It's going to be all right.
Let's get into it. First of all, this episode is kind of weird to record because I feel like we don't hesitate to say a lot on this podcast, really. But this one feels more personal, and it's also things that I don't even really talk about with, like, you know, family members or even my friends. Like, people, like, know that I have it or whatever, but it's not really a big thing that I, like, talk about.
And I feel like people don't really even know about it that much because, like, I had never heard of this before. And I think most people, I don't know, a lot of people deal with it. And so it's kind of strange that most haven't heard of it, but it's really common now. And watching you deal with it, it's been a strange kind of thing, like, that this has been going on for a while now, and I just didn't know about it, so.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't either. Like, I knew of PCOS, but I didn't know that I had it, which I'll talk about that more in a minute, but yeah, so let's keep this a judgment-free zone and use it as a place to build each other up, because I don't want to be attacked for anything I'm about to say in this episode.
Yeah, plus there's not, besides like the medical ways of treatment, it's kind of people trial and error trying to figure out how to deal with it, so.
Yeah, that's another thing. I am going to go over some like tips that I've, you know, found along the way, or just like what my PCOS like treatment, I guess, experience has been like, but every person's journey with PCOS is so different and so individual, and I am obviously not a doctor, so none of this is like actual medical advice. It's just things that I've either heard have worked or have personally worked for me, or things that haven't worked for me. So with all of those disclaimers, I guess we can get into it. So PCOS is polycystic ovarian syndrome, and it's a hormonal imbalance that occurs when your ovaries create excess hormones. So that's what it is in like the most, like, with the most simplistic definition, I guess. But a lot comes with that. So, just to name a few symptoms. They are weight gain, difficulty losing weight, hair loss slash excessive hair growth. Like, excessive hair growth in places that you don't want your hair to grow. Like, your chin or your back, for instance. High testosterone and androgen levels, anxiety, depression, acne, ovarian cysts, ovarian pain, insomnia, just slash like difficulty sleeping, infertility, which that's mainly caused by lack of ovulation, irregular or absent periods, headaches, low libido, darkening of the skin, and sugar cravings. So that's quite a few things that come along with PCOS that a lot of people may look at you and say, or like think that you're just lazy and like not taking care of yourself and that's why you struggle with these things. But really, like, the root cause is just a hormonal imbalance in your body that can be very difficult to fix.
Yeah, and the craziest part is the drugs that doctors will try to give you for them don't seem to be the most effective thing. So I don't know. It's been frustrating for me just to watch you be frustrated by it too. So
yeah.
And it's just crazy how many symptoms PCOS has too.
Yeah. And there's way more than that. Like, dandruff is one, like headaches. I don't know if I said that one in here, but there's a lot of like random things that you wouldn't think would be caused by that. But ultimately, like, if your hormones are out of whack, like, it affects your entire body. So like, there's a lot of symptoms that you can have from this. And some more serious ones, I wouldn't say it's like a symptom necessarily, but having PCOS, it can lead to diabetes, especially because a big part of PCOS is insulin resistance, which we could probably do a whole episode on that. Like, there's so much to insulin resistance, and it's not something that you can only have with PCOS. And I think there are some people that have PCOS and don't have insulin resistance. I personally do. So that's not fun either. But yeah, so that can lead to diabetes, also high blood pressure, cardiac issues, and you have a much higher chance of getting ovarian cancer. So those are some of the more serious things that make it something to worry about, because it is gonna, not that the other side effects aren't serious, because they are, and like living with those things can be very difficult, but they're not going to kill you, and these other things could. And so I feel like, especially having health anxiety personally, That's kind of like always in the back of my mind a little bit, like that it could lead to these things. So yeah, it's kind of scary. And that's why it's important to stay on top of your like yearly exam with your lady doctors.
Yeah, and especially because the like the cysts are, you can have like a lot at once and they can rupture, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's painful.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, I don't know, it's wild to me, like the stuff you have to deal with. I think we did a scan or something one time with you and you had a lot of cysts at one point, right?
Yeah, I'll get into that in my...
Okay, sorry, I won't steal your thunder, I just, I don't know.
Getting ahead of me here. As far as causes go, some people say, like, you didn't cause your PCOS, and I think I would agree. Like, I don't think you necessarily caused it, but I do think, like, external factors can cause it, and just, like, your environment around you can cause it. Or just, like, it can be set off by certain things if you're, like, on the line, I guess. But according to the internet, the causes are genetics, weight gain, elevated cortisol, which is just, like, your stress hormone, if y'all don't already know that, and then elevated insulin levels.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
So that's what people say the causes are, and then how it's treated. So in America, in my experience, birth control, like, is a huge one that they try to give you to regulate periods and reduce the ovarian cysts. But you can also have PCOS without even having ovarian cysts. So that's why it's a very confusing disease. And there's a lot of, like, misinformation because it's just, there's so much to it.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Also, just, they give women birth control for so many reasons, and it's weird that it's almost like a blanket treatment for so many things, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, it doesn't, in the long run, do anything.
Right. Yeah, so birth control is a big one. Also, metformin to improve your insulin levels if you do have elevated insulin, which some people take metformin, like Andrew Huberman, for longevity and stuff. So, or also to, like, reduce your risk of getting, like, Alzheimer's or dementia. Like, there's a lot of things about metformin. Personally, I didn't want to take it because I don't like taking medication, so... And then also spironolactone to reduce testosterone. So that can help, like, if you're struggling with acne or the excessive hair growth, it can help with those things. A lot of people take that just for their skin in general, like, without even having PCOS. But again, I didn't really want to go that route because I don't like taking medication. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of other medications. Not a lot, but there are a few other medications that are out there for PCOS, like Ozempic, because that is ultimately used for diabetes, so that can also improve your insulin levels and therefore help to manage your PCOS. But the ones I've personally been offered are birth control, metformin, and spironolactone. And yeah, I think they don't really fix the root cause, which is why I've never chosen to go that route.
Didn't you even, you tried some of them? Or no? I can't remember. I thought you tried one of them for a short amount of time and it just was not, like, the symptoms of the medication were not good. Was that something else?
Yeah, no, I haven't. Because
I don't know why I thought you did.
Well, actually, maybe I did take the metformin for a second, but it typically makes people super nauseous, and I feel like it did that for me as well. And I didn't want to keep doing that because I didn't want to really take it in the first place, so.
Yeah, well, that's good. Just the medications, it gets wild, and I feel like they probably have so many more that they would add on to this if those didn't work, you know?
Yeah, but, like, specifically for PCOS, like, there isn't just one blanket medication. They just kind of treat, like, birth control as that and metformin, and now, like, the Ozempic and...
Which I think is because they don't really know what it is, you know? Like, it just happens.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of factors that do lead to it, but... Yeah, it's kind of still, like, a mysterious thing in a way, which, again, just makes it hard. But, yeah, I just think that getting to the root cause of it is important. But I also understand, like, if you're in a place where your symptoms are so unmanageable that you need to be on those medications, like, I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to do that. And I'm also not saying that I'm never going to get to that place and, like, maybe end up needing those medications myself, just to manage my symptoms in the meantime. But for right now and for the past few years since I've been diagnosed, that's just not the path that I've wanted to go down. So, yeah, that option is available, though.
Yeah, I think you're about to talk about it, but I think we've always kind of wanted to take the more natural approach to problems we have, and it is harder, and I don't know, but it can be a better solution, and you don't have these weird symptoms from all these medications that you don't fully know what they're doing to you, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely harder, and I'm sure if I were to have taken all those medications, I would look a lot different right now. I would probably feel a lot better, but I know that if I were to stop taking them, then I feel like all of the symptoms and things that I'm dealing with now would probably just come back. And I don't want to be in a situation where I'm reliant on something to keep those symptoms away. So, yeah, I feel like since we've moved back, I've started to try to take it a little bit more seriously than I have before. Because, to be honest, I'm tired of feeling this way. So, yeah. So let's talk about some of the more alternative treatment options, which if you're not into, like, the more natural remedies for things, I'm sorry, but we kind of are for the most part. Like, not that Western medicine or whatever is not necessary, because I think it fully is. I think it's, you know, saved you from brain cancer. Like, there's so many great things about it, but there's a lot of flaws in other areas. So we just try to do a good mix of both.
Yeah, this is a personal opinion. I just think there's a big difference between, like, advanced medicine and, like, practices and, like, big pharma per se. Like, there's differences in that, what that means, you know? And, like, you can look that up for yourself, but that's kind of what we mean by we like the more natural approach and something that's probably better for us more long term than medications that are really not as tested as they would like you to think. So.
Yeah, and I think, what do I think? Oh, I think that, like, if I don't need, like, emergency medical help, like, if I'm okay in this moment, then I want to try to find the more natural way to go about it, if possible. And if that doesn't work, then okay, you know, I'll get on all the medications, I'll do the things, but I want to give it the old farmer's effort, as I like to say, before going that route. So when it comes to the alternative treatment, so diet is obviously a huge one and arguably the most important. So I've heard a lot of people say that gluten and dairy are two of the most, like, inflammatory things that you can eat, which in turn makes your PCOS worse. So I love cheese and yogurt, and I have never cut out dairy in my life, and I don't plan to be honest. So if eating dairy is going to hinder me from curing my PCOS, then I may always be this way. I don't know. But I'm not of the mind that it's like there's one little thing like that that's going to completely hinder me from getting better, if that makes sense.
I mean, yeah, I don't think like dairy will necessarily like keep everything how it is. I do think dairy is a big deal, though, even if you don't have PCOS. That's my opinion. I think it's not good for you, but
teach their own. Yeah, I don't know.
It's just inflammatory and it.
I think it depends on the person. Like, I really do. I think for some people, they don't react well to dairy. For me, I've never had any issues. I mean, I have PCOS, but there's...
Maybe it's the milk. I don't know.
I don't know. I think if anything, it's more than likely the gluten. Because when I eat gluten, maybe. I don't feel great. And that is something I would be willing to cut out. I like, as we're talking about baking all of our sourdough. But yeah, I think that's something I would be... Like, I would have an easier time doing. Also, just not eating, like, fried foods, processed foods, you know, added sugars. excuse me, I'm doing a lot of talking, and it's really affecting my voice because this is kind of hard. But, yeah, obviously, people should do that anyway, just, like, not eat as much processed foods or added sugars. So, that's a huge one. I think if you have PCOS and you cut out those things or... drastically reduce your intake, you're probably going to see some positive results.
Yeah, I think the processed foods, like the ultra processed, they call them, like, I really think those are not good for anybody. I just think they're, you know, super calorie dense foods, and they have, you know, high amounts of corn syrup and all these things that are really addictive, and it just kind of hijacks your, like, dopamine system, I guess, whenever it comes to food. And like, that's why people are getting so addicted to food, and I think it is just not good for your body overall.
Yeah, it's definitely not. So that's a huge one, obviously, just cleaning up your diet. And it doesn't have to go from like 0 to 100, like you're cutting out everything. Like, I feel like you have to do it in a way that is sustainable for you, otherwise you're not going to do it. So start small and build upon that.
Yeah, I heard Joe Rogan talk about this, and he was saying, you know, people ask him, like, how do you get so healthy? And he was like, you do it the same way you got unhealthy. It's one little decision at a time over a long period of time. It's not, you know, you just wake up and you're just doing all the right stuff and it's better. You got to really build it up, and you're changing habits you've built for a long time, so you have to unbuild them and then build new ones.
Right.
So yeah, it's a big deal, but it takes longer, but if you do it that way, it's a lot more sustainable. You're not going to fall off as easy and go right back to what you were doing.
Yeah. Also, to start with drinking more water. I feel like we talk about that in a lot of our podcast episodes, but truly, just like, hydrate yourself, and, you know, that's one small step. So if that's all you can start with, then at least start with that. Next thing is keto. So there's a lot of mixed opinions out there. Some people say that doing keto has completely cured their PCOS and they no longer have any symptoms or struggles, like, regarding or in regards to PCOS. But other people say that it made it so much worse. All right, sorry, we had a false alarm. We thought we needed to take Frankie outside, but he actually just wants attention, so he's fine. But yeah. Basically, keto... it could be great for you. It could be bad. I would say speak with your doctor or like a trusted medical professional and figure out if that's something that you should do. I think getting like blood work done to get your baseline, before you start all that, if keto is the route you want to take, is important. So,
and blood work's just good for anything, like just seeing where you're at and what you need to do.
Yeah. Even if you like struggle with health anxiety, I feel like it's good to just know where you're at so you know what you need to improve upon. And it's not something that's meant to scare you, but it's good to just be knowledgeable of what's going on inside your body. All right, I still have a lot of notes to get through, and we are already 30 minutes in, so I'm going to start speed running a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of shut up and let you just go through it.
Well, I like your commentary, but we'll just...
If it's something I like have to say, I'll say it, but I'm going to try to be quiet.
Okay. I just want to like impress upon y'all again that everyone's body is different, and the severity and even type of PCOS can vary a lot from person to person. So some supplements that have been recommended a lot, like specifically to me or that I've just seen on the internet, like when doing research, are magnesium, omega-3, vitamin D, and inositol. I don't know how you pronounce it, but that one is kind of like nature's metformin, I believe. And it can help to balance your blood sugar levels, but that's one I would be careful with if you don't struggle with like high insulin levels, because I believe, don't quote me, but I believe that it can make your blood sugar drop to too low of a level. So that's where the blood work comes in. Get your blood work, talk to somebody about it before you just go like taking all these supplements. But magnesium specifically helped me a lot, and even omega-3. Like, I felt a lot more energy, and my joints hurt less when I was taking that. So I should probably get back on the omega-3 and magnesium grind, because I have not been taking those really since we moved to New York. So now that we're back, I feel like I'm in the headspace to take this more seriously again.
I think magnesium is just a good one for anyone, too. It's really helpful.
Yeah, I love magnesium, and Symbiotica is a good brand. It's so expensive, but as far as I know, it's like sourced well. It's just a good overall product, and I've always had like actual results from it. There's a lot of discount codes out there you can use for 10% off. We don't have one, obviously, but like a lot of people do. So you could do some research if you wanted to try any of their supplements. When it comes to exercise, weightlifting is supposed to be the best form of exercise, or just like going on a walk. Anything high intensity or that raises your cortisol/stress levels is supposed to be not as good for you, because it can make you inflamed and it can make.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Like, you hold on to weight, which kind of makes no sense, but anything lower impact is just supposed to be better if you're struggling with PCOS. So if you have PCOS and you're doing SoulCycle or something every day, maybe switch it up and do some weightlifting and you might see some results. Another huge one is managing stress. So this one is obviously going to vary a lot from person to person, but I think starting your morning a specific way, like with prayer or meditation or journaling or whatever your thing is, just getting your day like started on the right note, can help you manage your stress, or going on a walk or doing breathing exercises or whatever. The sauna, that's like the most stressful thing I could think of, but I know for a lot of people that helps them reduce their stress. So just finding whatever that is for you, but managing stress is super important, because holding on to excess levels of cortisol affects your body in a very negative way, and again, it makes you hold on to weight, and thus your PCOS cannot improve from my understanding. That's definitely the hardest one for me, but we're working on it. All right, also sleep. This is probably the second hardest one for me, because with PCOS, a lot of people are like super tired during the day, and then as soon as nighttime comes around, it's like, all right, I'm ready to start my whole day, and I have so much energy and ideas for things I want to do, and I just want to talk about every thought I've ever had. So establishing a good nighttime routine is also important, like where you're getting off your phone. People say that red light helps a lot, like just getting a red light bulb or something and putting that in your room. Do like a nighttime journal. things of that nature.
I would say this one's been a little tough for me, which is, I mean, that sounds selfish, but like, yeah, sometimes I'll be extremely tired and I'll be ready to go to sleep and I'll be falling asleep, probably a little bit asleep already, and you'll be like, what you doing? Like, you just want to like talk about everything. And yeah, it could be a lot sometimes, because I'm just like not ready for a conversation whatsoever, and you're firing on like, you're up on a 10, like going, you know, like ready to go.
Yeah,
you're like, let's talk, and like, I could go do something right now. I'm like, no, I can't do that right now.
Yeah, that's definitely an irritating one for everyone, and I don't think it's selfish. I think PCOS definitely affects just more than like the person it affects. But yeah, I just think it's hard, and sleep is not something I have mastered. So honestly, if I just slept better and managed my stress somehow, I'd probably be in fairly decent shape. But
I feel like you've been doing better with sleep recently, like the last couple weeks. You fall asleep before I do. You're just snoring over there.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice, and then I can just go to sleep, and
yeah,
it's all good.
I do try. And then the last big one that I have is getting rid of endocrine disruptors. There's a whole big debate about how if chemicals in products are like something that you need to take seriously or not. We personally switched over like most of our products to being non-toxic or chemical free after your cancer diagnosis, because we just felt like, why add any potential carcinogens when we don't absolutely have to. So yeah, there's a lot of chemicals in makeup, perfume, laundry detergent, candles, food, even toilet paper, and furniture. Like the off-gassing of furniture can lead to a lot of negative things in your air, and even clothing, which we're not crazy about our furniture and clothing. We do buy special toilet paper, which a lot of people think is so ridiculous, but
it's hard to go back to once you get the nicer toilet paper.
It like, is nice. It's called Reel, R-E-E-L, if y'all are interested. It's like unbleached bamboo or something, because a lot of toilet paper is bleached, which if you think about it, that's just crazy and disgusting, and you probably shouldn't be like putting bleach on sensitive parts of your body.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know. The craziest one for me was the water. Like, we got water filters for our shower, and I used to get hives and like a rash all over me every time I would shower and be super itchy. As soon as we got this water filter, I've never had that again. So,
yeah, it's kind of weird, like how noticeable the difference was for you after we got it.
Yeah, and our water is supposed to be so clean and nice, but there's so many chemicals and things in there that are not good for you.
Yeah, our sink water, even every time I wash dishes, like it just smells like chlorine to me, which that's not good. We're not washing our dishes with pool water, or we shouldn't be. So I think filters for all of your water sources are important also.
Yeah, it's, you can go down a big rabbit hole with that, but
yeah,
if you can just do simple stuff, it's good.
Yeah, and we did do a whole episode like in our first season, I guess, of the podcast, when the sound was way, way worse than it is now. But I think it was called Cancer Swaps, and we talked about a lot of the products that we had switched out, or things that we were adding in. So if y'all want some recommendations, y'all could go back and listen to that episode, because I don't think too many things have changed from that. We've definitely added a lot more, like we've swapped out a lot more products, but that might be a good place to start. Or if you want any recommendations, you can send me a DM, because I've done way too much research on all this.
Yeah, and there's apps you can get too that you can pull up while you're shopping, which is nice, and it'll kind of help you navigate what to buy and what not to buy. So
yeah, there's also like the EWG website that gives a rating. There's not, I mean, there's a lot of products on there, don't get me wrong, but a lot of the stuff I use in certain brands, like, they won't have it listed on there, but that is one resource you can go to if you want to just get an idea. But yeah, we just try to live a fairly non-toxic life as much as possible. Nobody's perfect with all that. Like, we don't turn our Wi-Fi off at night. We don't buy, like, all organic cotton clothing, or anything, but maybe one day we'll get there, just not right now, because it can also be expensive. So I think if you're worried about it, just do what you can.
Yeah, it can get very expensive, but just do your best.
Yeah, because
something's better than nothing.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like I said, PCOS is a hormonal disease, so anything that negatively affects your hormones, probably don't use it, you know? All right, so that is all of the alternative treatments. Sorry, that was so long just to talk about that. But now let's get into my experience. So this is the part I'm more nervous for. So like I said, this is a pretty personal episode. And it's weird to talk about, but I'll just get into it now and quit stalling. So I would say, like, I don't know, we got married in 2019. So I feel like 2020-ish, we were like, okay, we want to go ahead and have a child. And I feel like we were actively trying to do that for a while. And it just didn't happen, obviously, because we don't have a child. Which I'm thankful for, looking back, like, that didn't work out. Because with your cancer, like, that would have been so difficult to deal with. And we probably wouldn't have moved to New York, which I feel like changed us both in a lot of ways and was a really good experience. So, yeah. But you can be thankful that something didn't happen while also still being sad, if that makes sense, you know?
I think everything happens for a reason. And, you know, our timing and our plans is not necessarily always, you know, it doesn't work out that way. And it's not always the best thing for us. Like, we don't always know the best, you know?
Yeah.
So I think things just work out how they're supposed to.
Yeah, I agree. But so we were questioning, like, why it wasn't happening for a long time. And we didn't know. And my doctor was like, oh, it's just unexplained, like, for a while, for a couple of years. So I was like, okay, that's weird. You know, whatever. We'll figure it out one day. And to kind of preface some of this, so I had a really big ovarian cyst on my left ovary, and I had to get it removed because if it popped, it could have been, like, pretty bad, I guess. So in 2017, I got that removed, and it had grown. This is, like, really gross, so if y'all aren't into this kind of thing, just, like, skip ahead, like, 10 seconds or something. But it had grown into my fallopian tube, and so it had created scar tissue. So my left fallopian tube is basically just broken. Like, it's just out of commission because the scar tissue, like,
it's like clogging it. So
yeah,
fluid and everything can't go how it should through it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just completely out of commission.
Yeah.
The doors are closed.
I'm down a fallopian tube, which also obviously makes it harder to get pregnant if you only have one fallopian tube. So got that going on, and then PCOS on top of it. But I didn't, so I just had that one cyst, and then I didn't have any, I'm not gonna say any, but I didn't have the main, like, markers of PCOS up until really after your cancer diagnosis. And I think that I was, like, teetering on the edge of having it for a while, and then the stress of that, I do feel like, just kind of pushed it over. And also, like, we were door dashing a lot of food because you were the chef and you weren't cooking, you know? So I think just poor eating habits, the stress of it all, not being as active because you really couldn't be. And I was just trying to, like, take care of you during that time. Like, I think all of those factors really just kind of pushed me into having, like, full-blown PCOS, because my period, like, went away during that time, and then it was a long time before it came back. Like, I had to take medication to
restart it. I feel like it was almost, it was at least 6 months, right?
Yeah, it was, like, about 6 months, I think, and then I went for my yearly doctor's appointment. My doctor said, okay, that's not normal, take this medication to, like, restart your period, which worked. They did some of the ultrasounds, and there were, like, 30 cysts on my ovaries or something crazy, which which is a lot. And none of them were, like, huge or, you know, warranted surgery or anything. But it's still not... It's not what a healthy ovary should have looked like.
I feel like I was watching when she was doing it. And I remember it looking like a vine with, like, grapes all over it. Like, that's how many there were.
Yeah, it looks disgusting. Like, I literally hate even thinking about it. Because I'm not into that kind of thing. Like, looking at medical stuff. Especially when it's your own body. It's just kind of weird. But, yeah. So, they found all of those. Almost said all those ovaries. They found all those cysts. And then they did some blood work. And we're like, okay, yeah, you have PCOS, you know. So, you can take all the medications I talked about earlier. And I said, no, thank you. Like, I don't really want to do that. So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at. Like, that's how I got my diagnosis. And, yeah, I think I've been dealing with a lot of the symptoms for a while. Because that was, like, 3 years ago now, almost. And not really anything has improved, honestly. But most things haven't gotten worse. So, I think that's kind of a win.
I mean, I think we're, like, I don't know, because I think around the time my cancer stuff started, like, stress levels were extremely high all of a sudden, and for a while they were. And I think we've sort of gone through a period of, like, de-stressing from all of that and kind of going back to a normal level of things, you know?
Yeah, I think I'm still actively working towards that, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, we're still figuring stuff out, and, I mean, I still feel like physically I'm different from that time, too, because of, like, I just feel like I got unhealthy, and I haven't really found a way back yet from it all the way.
Yeah, once you're in that state of, like, just trying to survive and you're not really worried about anything else, like, it's hard to get back into the mindset of, like, okay, we're alive, we have a long life left to live, and let's, you know, make the most of it and be as healthy as we can. Like, it just is difficult, you know. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. Like, even if you haven't had some crazy life-altering experience, like, I think it's still a relatable thing.
Yeah, it's fine. It's hard to, like, find the sense.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter. Hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Or again, once yeah. You get pushed in either direction. From yeah.
But yeah, it's just hard. And so yeah, I was offered all those medications, and then a lot of people say to just lose weight and all your symptoms will go away, which that is true to a degree. Like, if I lost weight, a lot of my symptoms would go away. But the thing with PCOS is it's not as easy to lose weight because of the hormonal imbalance. So it's not just as simple as, like, go to the gym and, you know, you'll be skinny and everything will be fine, which a lot of people think it is as simple as that. But unfortunately, it's not. Like, there's a lot more to it.
It's like a very strict diet, and you have to figure out what, like, by elimination and adding things in, like, what's actually affecting you, and then you have to stick to that, which is, that's a whole other thing after just finding what actually is affecting you.
Yeah, and that's not to say that if I, like, worked out more and ate better and just, you know, lost weight, or, like, that I wouldn't lose weight, like, if I did those things. But it's also annoying just to hear, like, oh, just lose weight and it's fine, because then you have, like, the other voices in your head of being like, oh, these people think that, or, like, they want me to lose weight. And so it just adds extra pressure. And it's like, if you're not doing something for yourself, then you're not going to do it. And so honestly, it just creates more frustration and like annoyance than anything in my experience.
Yeah, and regardless of hormone imbalances or anything, like losing weight when you have a lot to lose is like really hard. Like I've been through it a couple times now, and I'm so like it's different every time you do it. You would think after you do it once that you should just know how to do it, and it just isn't that way. It's different every time, and it's you got to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. So it's hard, and it just adds extra stress, which also makes PCOS worse, as we've learned today. So it's just annoying. Like, it's not like I wouldn't want to lose weight, you know? So.
Yeah, I don't know who doesn't want to lose weight, you know?
Like, yeah, like, I'm not, like, I'm pretty happy with the way I am, honestly. Like, I don't love the weight I'm at. No, like, I feel like most people don't, but it's also not something that completely consumes me all the time, which maybe it should a little bit more. But I don't know. I just want to feel better and be healthier. And if I felt those things at the weight I'm at now, I would be okay with that, you know?
Yeah, I think there is somewhat more to life. But yeah, I'm me personally, this isn't even related to your stuff you're talking about, but I do want to feel better too. And I think a big part of that for me is losing weight. So, but it's very hard.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just creates extra stress when your family or whatever is telling you, like, oh, lose weight. It's like, okay, thank you for the tip. Like, that's so crazy. I didn't know that I should do that. And I've never tried before in my life. So that can just be annoying when you, like, are trying, nothing's working, and you still get negative comments. So
it's just part of it, though. Like, the haters and the people who see it from the outside and don't understand. Like, there's a lot to it.
Yeah, there is. And then I kind of already talked about this, but I also probably could have, you know, taken all the medications I mentioned earlier, lost weight, got my symptoms more under control, and people on the outside would think that, oh my gosh, she, you know, looks better or whatever. Like, she, you know, got off her ass, for lack of a better term, and, like, did something, when really it's like, I just took these medications. They would in turn give me side effects and really not address the root cause at all. So you just kind of have to pick your battles. And again, if you're on those medications or you want to take those medications, I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with that. I just think for me, it's not where I want to be at right now.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I don't have much to say. So the last section here, because we are getting long in this episode. Also, sorry I'm so out of breath. I'm just, like, nervous talking about all this, because, like I said, I really don't talk about it a lot. And I'm generally a pretty, like, happy person that doesn't like to put my issues onto other people. So it's weird talking about my experience with these things, but I feel like it's important for anyone out there listening that struggles with this or knows someone that does. So my tips for dealing with it emotionally are, don't fail to make the changes, but also give yourself grace. So don't give yourself too much grace, because, like, there are things you can do and that you probably need to do to improve, you know, your symptoms and your chances of having a child and, like, you know, all of those things. But also don't completely beat yourself up about it if something you're doing isn't working, because I think it takes a lot of time to figure out the best thing that's going to work for you, like, in your body specifically. I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all approach to PCOS. So give yourself grace, but also try. Like, you gotta try in some way, whatever way that is, if you want anything to change.
Yeah, everything, any big change that someone makes in their life starts with the smallest step forward, you know? Like, it doesn't, like, you just have to start somewhere, and you have to keep taking those little steps no matter how big or small they are.
Yeah. Next thing, it can be really difficult, especially with the infertility aspect. If people are constantly asking you about when you're going to get pregnant or why you haven't had a baby already, but you don't owe anyone an explanation, honestly. Like, your health and your body, like, really isn't anyone else's business. Like, I think it's been normalized for a long time to ask people, like, when they're going to have a child and all of that, but I think it should stop being so normalized, to be honest, because we aren't the only people that struggle with infertility. Like, there's a lot of people out there that, for one reason or another, struggle with this, and all it does is make the woman feel horrible about herself. So, like, probably stop asking that question.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a way to go about it that's, like, you could still ask, but it's, like, more polite and not so, like, where it's just putting pressure on you. Because, yeah, it is kind of frustrating when it's like, well, we've done all the things you're supposed to do and then some, and it still hasn't happened, so.
Yeah, and if people are concerned or, like, you know, they want to, I don't know. Some people do go about it in a nice way, but if it's just repeatedly like, so when are you getting pregnant? It's like, I don't know. You know, you tell me. Like, wouldn't I love to know the answer? Like,
as if we're like actively trying not to. Yeah. It's just weird.
Yeah. So that can be annoying. Obviously, I sound a little irritated in my voice because it's just.
That's probably your least favorite one of everything. Like,
because it's just like, I don't know. I don't have that answer. I think if I did, we would have a child by now. And obviously we don't. So continually asking me, like, so when are you going to have a baby? It's like, I still don't know, you know? So that is what it is. But PCOS in general, it's really difficult to overcome. And just try to let it roll off your back as much as possible. Obviously, I still have a little ways to go on that. But, you know, it's not, I feel like it's not meant maliciously, you know, from people. They just don't, I think, understand. Like, maybe they've never experienced going through anything like that. So, well, it's like they just don't understand.
And it wasn't, these issues were not as common, like, that long ago. You know, like, most people, it's just normal to, like, that just happened. You know, like, it wasn't a big deal. But now it's more and more people, couples, are having issues doing that because of PCOS or, you know, who knows how many other reasons that people can't have babies, you know.
And that's another thing. Like, just because you have PCOS, make sure you get your, like, husband's sperm checked as well because, yeah. It's,
yeah, men are dealing with stuff too, and we didn't even do it for that reason. We just happened to, whenever I was getting my radiation after my surgery and stuff for my all my cancer stuff, like, we found this thing because the radiation can affect all of that, so we were gonna have them, like, store it basically, but they would also test it. And yeah, so we got to test my stuff, and mine's not that great either, so.
Yeah, they weren't perfect, so I think, like, don't put all the pressure on yourself. Like, it takes two people to make a baby, and just because you have PCOS, like, doesn't mean that everything is your fault, which I don't think the blame should ever be fully, like, placed on anyone, you know? It's either going to happen or it's not, but just don't place that blame fully on yourself, because at the end of the day, you can only do what you can do, so.
Yeah, and back to our, this is not really random, but our book club with the four agreements, it's don't take, like, even like your own words or other people's words so seriously, because, or your own thoughts or other people's thoughts, because we don't know all the different factors that affect, like, how someone feels because of a certain comment. And, like, for us, it's been just, we can't take it that seriously because we don't know, and they don't know that we don't know, you know, like, it's a whole thing. So
yeah,
but yeah, that's how we've kind of dealt with that, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. My other tip is just to do your best to do your own research and start with even one small change. We've talked about that a lot, but don't take everything I'm saying as, like, complete fact or whatever. Like, I've listened to a lot of podcasts. I've done a lot of research on the internet, but like I said, it varies so much from person to person. I think it is important to do your own research and figure out what's the best approach for you. There's a lot of information out there, but try to keep an open mind about different things that you could do to potentially help you, and obviously speak with a doctor or someone in the medical field that you trust to make the right decisions for you. Okay, another one. Oh my gosh, we're almost done, guys. So don't be afraid to advocate for yourself also at the doctor, because it took me a long time to get a diagnosis, which I said, I think my diagnosis came because it got, like, you know, sent over the edge into full PCOS, and I don't think it was before. But a lot of people go to doctors for years and have PCOS but never get the diagnosis, so just advocate for yourself. Our camera's about to die, so I'm really going to speed run this. Don't be afraid to voice your experience to those around you if you need support. You can always send me a DM. Just know that I'm pretty sure 1 in 10 women is how many people that PCOS affects. So just know that you're not alone, and I know how hard it can be to deal with it, but there's always somebody that you can vent to, even if it's me. So let me know. And then for those of you out there that don't personally have PCOS, but you have family or friends that do, my advice to you is to give them grace and show them support. Helpful tips are much appreciated, but telling someone, you know, what to do or just to lose weight or questioning them on why they're not pregnant yet, that's not helpful. So support is appreciated. Other things, not so much. Just try to be helpful and understanding and as non-judgmental as you can be, you know, just be a supportive person, because it's difficult. It's really difficult.
We're all going through something, and it's, you know, it's hard to, I don't know, if you go about it where you're just putting your stuff on everyone else and you don't even try to understand, it's kind of a hard way to go about life, I think.
Yeah, so that's why I wanted to make this episode, is so maybe for those of you who didn't understand it before, maybe have a better idea of what someone with PCOS deals with on a daily basis. And yeah, just bring some awareness to it. We don't have a huge platform by any means, but it is something that I deal with every day, so I felt like it was important to talk about. A couple random resources. Gracie Norton, she is someone who has really like overcome her PCOS completely. Also, Courtney Simmings, I don't know her Instagram name off the top of my head. I will leave it in the notes or something on this episode. There are some good resources if you're trying to get a hold of your PCOS in a more natural way. But yeah, I think that's it. Follow us on Instagram at On The Air With Brett and Claire. Subscribe to the YouTube at On The Air With Brett and Claire. I'm really trying to beat the clock here. Book Club, October 7th, Viewfinder by John Chu. Let us know if you have any episode requests. Let me know if you have any helpful PCOS tips. And thank you for listening and letting me talk about this today.
Thank you for listening, guys. Bye.
All right. Thanks, guys. And if you have anything else you want us to talk about, did I already say that?
I think so.
Okay. All right. Bye, guys. See you next Thursday.
Bye.
Thank you.